You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 19th, 2022. Governor Abbott of Texas said, I'm going to continue sending buses of illegals to the D.C. Capitol and let that area handle them. They want them in the country, they can have them. And he says if they get too filled up in D.C., Delaware sounds like another good state we could send them. Coming up, I've got a guest that's going to be talking about how many of these illegals coming in might actually be a jihadist of one form or another. And ironically, one of his fellow contributors to the place where he works says what Trump is doing is more of a stunt than actually solving anything. Well, of course, that's what Jen Psaki in the White House said the other day. But the take is still a little bit different. I'll explain as we move forward. But he's making it clear we're not going to stop. You're on the network news that the Russian invasion of Ukraine, it's shifting, changing a little bit, maybe escalating at the same time, but in a different fashion. When asked repeatedly if Russia plans to use any nuclear weapons in Ukraine, the Russian spokesman said all those allegations are coming from the Ukrainian side, especially President Zelensky, that we've never mentioned using this. But now they have started the battle for Donbas in eastern Ukraine, and Zelensky says we will continue fighting. Russia bombarded cities across Ukraine yesterday, 4 missile strikes in the western city of Lviv, and at least 7 killed. But Ukrainians still resisting. Listen to these FBI stats. Black Lives Matter, right? Then you should pay attention here closely. In 2019, at least 7,400 black Americans were murdered. 2019, 7,800. The number jumped to 9,900 in 2020. In other words, another 2,400 plus black Americans killed in that 1 year's time. And between 2010 and 19, there was an average of maybe 6,000 white murders. But during the same period, black murders shot up 43%. Shot up 43% in 2020 compared to the previous 10-year average. A 21% increase in white murders. Cops were not doing all the shooting in either case. In most cases, it's black-on-black crime. The state-controlled media does not like to talk about that. But that is a very big issue, and the people that live in those communities, they know. They know. Of course, they're afraid to speak out for fear they'll be next. There's a guy who pled guilty to murdering a black philanthropist last year. The LA Times reporting on a phone call he made with a friend that he laughed because he shot the woman in the back, and he bragged, I want to leave prison early because the prosecutors didn't ask for sentence enhancements. So he said, they're just going to try me on the murder, basically. I did shoot her in the back, but I'm laughing because they're going to get out early. He even bragged a friend, I'll get out early. I'll serve maybe 20 years because the prosecutors aren't going to go after special circumstances, which could have meant life without parole. He killed a black woman, a major philanthropist for the L.A. area, helping mostly minority communities, and he's laughing about it and says, I'm going to get out early because of the way that it gets handled out here. And he's probably right. Oh, the U.S. Postal Service is going to slow down delivery speeds for a third of your first-class packages. I thought if I paid first class, I'd get there faster and better than the others, right? Well, two-thirds of them will, one-third won't. Give you a guess who gets there first and last. Several prominent business executives are hoping Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat of West Virginia, will defect to the Republican Party and run against President Joe Biden. And yes, Joe Biden, apparently, according to The Hill, did say, according to sources, to President Obama, I'm going to run again in 2024. And Obama said, Joe, you're dribbling at the chin. No, he didn't. I take that back. That's wrong. I shouldn't do that. But if that's the best they're going to have, bring it on. I'm ready.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. Summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Biden administration, they were dropping off illegal immigrants just on small towns on the border. And I said, we're not going to allow that to happen. The people in local communities were overrun by the people they had dumped off in these local communities. And they were grappling with how to deal with it. And I said, well, we're just going to bus them to Washington, D.C. We're going to load them up and send them to Washington, D.C. If we run out of room there, Delaware looks like a great location.
Those are the words of Texas Governor Greg Abbott saying we're going to bus the illegals coming across the border where the government allows them to come in and just be dumped into our local communities, which are not capable of handling this vast number. And it's only going to increase when Title 42 is officially dropped May 23rd. We all know that. We all know that. Even Democrats say it's not going to be good for us, and they're trying to run to keep their office. So they are now joining Republicans trying to get Biden to don't lift Title 42. That was used by the CDC originally to prevent illegals from coming in that might be spreading COVID when we had the pandemic. And the CDC says now, well, we can drop it come May 23rd. Of course, they also still want you to have to wear a mask on a plane. They're upset that the government now is, or the TSA, rather, was told by a federal judge you cannot order people to wear a mask on a plane anymore. You've overstepped your bounds. Now, Abbott's effort and showcase, and it is showcasing, whether or not it's a valid and has value is a question. But the response from Jen Psaki on behalf of the White House immediately labeled it a political stunt. And actually, she ends up getting support from a writer we've had on here numerous times before, strong conservative, writing for The Federalist, John Daniel Davidson. I've had John on numerous times, and I believe a lot in what he says, and I support a lot of what he said, but I want to share what his view is on this thing. He said the thing that Abbott is doing, he said it is amounting to show, and part of it involved enhanced safety inspections intended to check for human trafficking, weapons, and drugs. They were using on the basis to make sure the trucks are safe enough to come into the state of Texas. You know, all their certificates are up to date. The wheels are okay, axles, so forth and so on. He said, but the real purpose of that was to grind to a halt commercial traffic to again put more pressure on Biden to deal with the border crisis. It is going to get worse. He's specifically talking about a 12-mile stretch of border with Texas just north of Laredo with a major industrial hub of Monterey where business leaders want to see cross-border trade get back as quickly as possible. So Governor Abbott worked a deal with his counterpart on the other side of the border that they'll work together to stop these trucks and hold them up for a long time for an inspection. They might also end up finding counterfeit materials, but in many cases it may just be legitimate goods, but the trucks are not going to be allowed to move. And it got so bad, though, that members of the drug cartel began setting fire to some of the trucks, whether or not to destroy any evidence or just to make things even worse. John Daniel Davidson, senior editor at The Federalist, points out that someone else who thinks Abbott's inspections were a misguided stunt, the Gulf Cartel, that set fire to four commercial trucks, just like I told you. He also said the editor of The Wall Street Journal criticized the inspection scheme. He said the second thing is by targeting international trade and holding a press conference with Mexican governments, Abbott is opting for show over substance, which has been his approach from the beginning, again, according to John Daniel Davidson of The Federalist. He said, as I've described in detail, this much-vaunted Operation Lone Star is anything but elaborate and expensive. All he has to do is basically bus these illegals 2 miles south of the Texas border and set it 1,700 miles north to Washington. He said he has resources, manpower, and a strong constitutional case for taking that action, but so far refuses to do it. It's his opinion, again, that with Jen Psaki, it's nothing but a publicity stunt. Although I do agree, I'd love to dump them in the homes of all these high elites who want you to suffer. Well, they're not going to suffer. But I want to see them suffer a little bit as well. I'm going to be joined a little bit later by another member of the Federalist talking about how the number of terrorists have been getting into the country, of what we know anyway. Now, I'd be interested in his take on John Daniel Davidson's remarks. Because, again, as I say, I'm a big fan of John Daniel and had him on numerous times before and hope to have him back again. But the other thing is this recent Border Patrol report that came out that said basically they have caught at least 23 known terrorists. They are on a no-fly list. No way they could get into the states except crossing across our open border, where the welcome mat is out for any and all. You want to come in here and do harm, kill, maim, run drugs, children for sex? You want to do any of that? You're welcome to do it. Come across our border. But some of these that are not going to be allowed and would not be allowed to fly in are now obviously utilizing. If you can get into Mexico, very simple for you to go ahead and go north. It has worked to the advantage to some with Ukrainians that were able to get out of their country, and they know if they get to Mexico, then they get into the U.S. a lot quicker. And they are true asylum seekers in their case. We all know that. But most of them are coming because either, one, they want a better life, which I understand, for them or their family, or they want to come here and take what is yours. And even members of the Latino community, as I told you in the previous hour, the numbers of support for Biden, he won 59% of them in 2020. His approval rating among them right now is around 23%, and they rank immigration 8th on their list of concerns. Democrats want to believe, want you to believe, that if you're against brown-skinned people, you're calling them a brown menace just like Trump did. He never said that. He didn't say about yellow people or anything else. He simply said, we're not getting the best people from Mexico. And generally, that's true. Same thing about the Cuban boat lift. Mayorkas, of course, Department of Homeland Security Secretary, he's an immigrant to this country. And he would also know that Castro opened the jails and the cells of many in his country once they were going to let them come on in the U.S. He said, let them go. Get them out of my country. And again, many came and they started a new life, a better life for themselves and generations afterwards. But as Texas Governor Abbott is pointing out, with the things this Biden administration has been doing, we really have no idea of the future harm we could cause this country. This is clearly Biden threatening the U.S. because it's threatening our entire security.
If Mexico and the states in Mexico, if they continue to allow illegal immigration to continue to flow into the state of Texas, I have the capability at any time to turn those inspections back on that will backlog those trucks that are trying to come across the border that will cause havoc in Mexico. And it will be those local governors as well as Lopez Obrador. They will be the ones paying the political price for it.
Again, that's Texas Governor Abbott. But as I shared the article from John Daniel Davidson, the Federalist, he said that's just more showmanship. But you're not accomplishing anything directly, Governor. By stopping the trucks, slowing them down, the inspections, obviously prices are going to increase even more so because fewer trucks will be allowed across in a timely fashion, and some of them, whatever they're carrying, might not survive that long, even if they're refrigerated units. And the longer delay, the more the price will go up as well. I do find it interesting, and I wanted to have John back on at some point in the near future, because I think this article he wrote, it holds a lot of fact and water to it. But at the same time, so what if it is a stunt? And on one hand, I'm thinking, that's fine. You can call it a stunt. I know it's not going to stop the flow of the others coming. I know that. But I've always said that for all the bleeding heart liberals out there, he said, we got to take care of all these people. Then are you ready to open your house to them? At least your garage, or at least let them set up a tent in your backyard? Are you willing to let some of them that might be coming back for a third or fourth time because they've been arrested on child molestation charges and expelled, but then they get back in again, and that happens on a common basis, much less those who have killed someone, including police officers or families? You're going to let them all back in as well, and you want them in your home. I'll accept John's argument that is, as Jen Psaki was saying, a publicity stunt. But sometimes, even though it may not be effective at ending the overall immigration issue, it is going to draw more and more attention to it because we are going to see a massive influx. It's going to be a crisis, a chaos of proportions that we can't even begin to imagine. And this administration could really be doing something as well, but it's not going to, especially if the Biden administration decides, yeah, we're going to go ahead and let Title 42 go away. He's got at least 11 members of his own party saying, don't do that. Now, they're doing it, and they're saying it not so much for national security, but because it's going to hurt them at the polls in their own elections. They think it would be political suicide for them. It could lead to his political suicide 2 years down the road. He's already said he's going to run again. Where's Kamala in all this? The one that Biden assigned to take care of the border situation. They didn't want to call it a crisis, remember? She's in California, where she's welcomed among all the Hollywood elites and raising money for Democrat candidates. If you had a lot of money, I'll just ask you that. If you had a lot of money and you wanted to put it on a candidate that's going to win, do you want to put it on a Democrat candidate? What do they have to offer that's going to benefit the nation and are you? Well, now you, if you get some personal perks out of it, maybe then that would be good for you. But the greater concern still exists, and that would be our national security.
It's an atrocity that we have a president of the United States that is not securing the border. And he's violating the laws passed by Congress to secure the border. Then on top of that, we have a president who is turning a blind eye to a security-based issue by allowing people on the terrorist watch list to come into the United States of America. And those were the ones who were apprehended. Think about all the gotaways that were not apprehended because the Border Patrol, they were attending to the people that they were doing paper processing for. So what the president is doing is outrageous. And as a result, Texas is taking unprecedented action.
So we'll take a closer look about the illegals coming in that may mean harm to our nation. I want to share a report that was written last year, and it's probably already outdated in many ways. You care about our nation, our national security? You don't want to miss this next part. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share an article with you from, he's identified as Jacob Oldort, Ph.D., wrote this October of last year, writing in for the American First Policy Initiative. It's titled, 20 Years Later, The Current and Future Course of America's War on Terrorism. And he points out that since the 9/11 attacks, the Bush and Obama administration defined the approach to fighting terrorism as an expansive ideological war of ideas and ideals based more on what they believed America's mission in the world to be rather than the actual scale and nature of the terrorist threat. He goes on talking about how the expansive understanding of terrorism corresponded with a drifting policy which included building democratic institutions overseas and all part of a counterterrorism group and policy. And then domestically, policies focusing on vague notices of extremism and radicalization, which critics have described as divisive and wasteful to make those distinctions. Then he goes on to say the Trump administration's domestic fight against terrorism, and this is a pretty lengthy report. This is probably good 8 typewritten pages. I'm really summarizing it, so I'll tell you where to see the whole thing here shortly again for you. But says the Trump administration's domestic fight against terrorism corrected the confusion around terms like extremism and radicalization with its concept of targeted violence, a narrow focus aimed at deterring groups and individuals plotting violent attacks. Then he adds the Biden administration politicized focus on domestic terrorism, coupled with its foreign policies to date, including the manner in which America withdrew from Afghanistan, raised questions about the consequences of turning America's national security tools at whole segments of the country and of the new vulnerabilities it would create as jihadist and other adversaries might be best positioned and least deterred to harm Americans. I know that's a mouthful and it's hard to take in as I read it to you. Again, this is with the American First Policy Institute. You can look them up online, Google American First Policy Institute, and look for the article 20 years later, The Current Future Course of America's War on Terrorism. And part of the thing it gets down to is, since we're talking about how many jihadists we have coming across our border now, we don't know, do we? We know we've caught some that have been on no-fly list, at least 20, one probably more. And then they've got the getaways. He concludes by saying America's adversaries today know that they have a range of options in when and whom they try to strike, as well as the kinds of alliances they can make and the ways in which they organize and plan their next steps. As America marked the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, one lesson, the importance of the discussions an American president makes to respond to the threats as they actually are rather than as they fit into a particular view of how the world should be. Much as over the last two decades, a president's commitment to address a threat as it is actually, makes all the difference in enhancing security of Americans and ensuring that only that objective is what informs the sacrifices demanded of Americans. And the sacrifices we're having now, we don't know when that call is going to go out to some of these that have crossed over our border. And where are those we know that got in and got away? I'm going to be joined in the next segment by Tristan Justice. He's also a writer for The Federalist, and he wrote a piece on dealing with these jihadists that are now inside the country and how they are using this open border policy to just simply infiltrate. We could not do a better job than if we picked them up on a 747 and flew them right out of some jihadist meeting and put them right in the middle of America, because that's pretty damn well what we're doing at this point. That story, the interview with him coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. The terrorist screening database is a government record to maintain information related to those who are known or reasonably suspected of engagement in terrorist activity. Well, recently, federal law enforcement admitting they've caught at least 23 suspected terrorists coming across our border. Tristan Justice, a contributor to The Federalist, followed up on that story. Tristan, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, it is no surprise, I think, to most of us that we probably have terrorists coming in across an open border, but I'll let you fill in some of the other details.
Yes, yeah, so the terrorist database that you just mentioned is a database that the FBI keeps to maintain information on those who are either known terrorists or likely terrorists. Or suspected terrorists. And so the people who are on that list are actually usually not Americans and usually have no affiliation with this country. And they're usually overseas nationals. But on this database, that is individuals who come into the United States. If their name appears in the database, then they're usually held in detention. But unfortunately, this administration has taken the border issues so unseriously that there were at least 23 people who are identified on this database who came across the border illegally last year under this administration. And that, even though that doesn't sound like a lot of people, I just want to put it into perspective for the listeners. There were only 19 hijackers on 9/11. So 23 is really no small number. And that's just the minimum number that we know, considering that there were 300,000 known gotaways, that is, migrants who evaded law enforcement and have no record into the country already since October.
And that also doesn't include those who are jihadists. They just are maintaining a low profile. They've already been radicalized. They're just waiting to be in country and then awaiting orders at that point.
Absolutely. We know of one person who was on this list who was actually detained by ICE and then released by ICE. There were leaked documents from the Department of Homeland Security that showed that despite an FBI interview recommending this individual remain in detention, ICE released him from federal custody to go seek asylum in Michigan. And so it's just another example of this administration not taking the border crisis seriously. And it's going to haunt the Democrats coming this fall.
You quote retiring U.S. Border Patrol Chief Rodney Scott back in August saying that his 19,000 agents have known that they're seeing known or suspected terrorists entering at a, quote, level we've never seen before. That was last August. Now, if we lift Title 42, we're already talking about 18,000 plus a day coming across.
You're absolutely right. And migration levels are already reaching crisis peaks to the point where we've never seen this number of people flooding across the southern border ever before. Last fiscal year, we saw nearly 1.7 million arrests by Customs and Border Patrol. That's a record number. We've not seen that number before. And it's just going to keep getting worse and worse. And this expiration of Title 42 is really just another welcome invite to migrants to flood across the border after this administration took office last year, which alone was an invitation after this president campaigned on open border policies throughout the entire election.
In fact, one of your fellow workers at the Federalist I was quoting earlier, John Daniel Davidson, he warned back in October, left unchecked, Biden's border crisis will become the new normal. So we're about to that new normal. I should also point out to you that, and I've had John on numerous times before, and I certainly respect him, but he was also saying that Biden's busing of illegals into D.C. really does amount to nothing more than a publicity stunt in the sense that it's not stopping the flow coming in. The stopping the flow, though, has to stand with the Biden administration to shut the border down. Davidson suggested, and I agree, that if you take them and bus them 2 miles south into Mexico as opposed to 1,700 miles north to D.C., you do a better job maybe, but they're going to come right back in 2 miles. That's not going to keep them from coming. But we don't know. But what is your thought on that, first of all?
Well, I actually think my colleague makes a really good point. I don't think the busing to D.C. was all that productive other than just a publicity stunt. But on the other hand, there's you know, the alternative is these migrants coming across the border and going wherever they want anyway. I mean, it's become a cliche at this point, but it is reality to say that every state is a border state under this administration with no sign of doing anything productive to finally seal off the border when we're welcoming upwards of 1-2 million of migrants a year. We have no southern border. And now we're seeing more evidence of suspected terrorists coming across the border. And then it has huge implications for national security.
Yeah, and that's the key. And I understand what John's saying. And I do know that, yes, busing them up there is going to solve the crisis. I accept that. But neither is flying them in the middle of the night on U.S. government planes or commercial planes rented by the government into places in the dark of night and letting them out in communities that weren't suspecting they were even coming.
Right. I think it's just especially dangerous considering how little we're vetting so many who are coming across, especially after we've got upwards of 300,000 just since October that have evaded law enforcement, have no record of their presence here in the United States. That's after we just lost Afghanistan back into the hands of the Taliban with billions of dollars in U.S. military equipment. And so considering how dangerous the world is today, we've got to keep our borders vigilant. But that's not what's happening under this administration.
And since you brought that up, we had numerous Afghans that we were willing and had given special passes to come to the U.S., but apparently there only about maybe less than 20% of the ones we'd said you could come got on the planes and got out of there, that they couldn't make it for some reason. And so we have a lot here that had not been vetted, that they did not assist our troops at the time. They may or may have tried to harm them for all we know, but they have yet to be vetted. They weren't vetted elsewhere before they were brought here, although we were told by the Biden administration. We're opening every avenue for terrorists to come in, and then we're going to be surprised and shocked. And members of the House, as you pointed out, also Republicans led by Biggs of Arizona, say, we want to see these numbers of the Biden administration when I give them to us.
Yeah, I mean, this administration is stonewalling Republicans in Congress at nearly every turn when they're trying to seek records and documents related to this administration's border policies. And so considering how dangerous the world is today, it's not just terrorism that we're importing in, or it's potential terrorism that we're welcoming into our country with an open welcome mat. But it's the drug. It's fentanyl. Yeah, fentanyl seizures are up 55%. And it's playing across the border, and it's making its way to every community in the United States from Idaho to Ohio.
Well, as you said, every country is now a southern border state to that extent. You mentioned the drug trafficking, and I still worry about all the children being trafficked across supposedly as part of a family unit when they're being turned over to sex abuse rings. And over the next decades, we'll begin to hear these stories come to light if the child survives. There's nothing that the Biden administration is doing, and lifting Title 42 is going to be the worst act, even to the extent that at least 11 Democrats are begging Biden, do not do away with it.
Right, and I think Democrats are waking up to what's going to come back and haunt them in the fall and the midterms. The Democrats are already forecast to lose control of the House, and it's, right now they're just trying to mitigate that pain by some of the more centrist Democrats try to bring the party back from the depths of the left at this point. And so while Democrats continue to campaign on race and climate issues, Americans are concerned about this immigration issue. It's not the top one. Inflation and economy remains the top.
No, it's not.
But it's high on the public opinion polls.
Right.
And this is an issue Americans are going to care about this fall. And it would be wise of Democrats to start raising the alarm on this issue.
Yeah, in fact, before you joined us, I was citing some numbers that surveys among Hispanics in the U.S. that they rate immigration concerns as eighth on their concerns of issues. And support for Biden has gone from 59% when he won in 2020 against Trump down to 23%. And then overall, 33% approve of what he's doing, and he's announced that he's going to run again, supposedly. This is not going to help our country, and we are putting us and our fellow citizens and our national security at risk.
Right, and it's not just Hispanics who actually care about this issue. You know, Democrats try to paint them as trying to be as open border as possible. But there was another survey from Harvard and Harris showing that immigration was still a top three problem among voters overall. And so it's not necessarily one that breaks down among racial lines. Americans of all racial stripes share these concerns. And once again, if Democrats really want to mitigate the damage from this fall, they would talk about issues related to border security. They would talk about fentanyl spilling over the border. They would talk about the need to reinforce our borders, especially at a dangerous moment in global politics.
Tristan Justice, I certainly appreciate your time today. Glad we could get you on board, sir.
Thank you for having me.
We'll do it again. Tristan Justice. One decision has been made regarding the Border Patrol. Remember the Border Patrol, the horse patrol, accused of whipping Haitians? A decision was made, but the White House response, that's coming up. I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottner Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottner, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottner.com, Rottner Pest Solutions. We'll be right back.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So you remember, of course, the scenes of Border Patrol agents, quote, whipping Haitians at the border. They were riding their horses and they were slapping the Haitians with the whips, according to the reports that were coming out. Even the photographer taking the picture said that was not happening. They were using long reins, which they have on these horses, to try to shy people away from them. Don't get near the horse. You will get knocked over. You could get stepped on. You could get hurt. That's pretty common. If you've ever been around horses, you've got to know that. And especially if a mob gets around them, you got to maintain control, and you're trying to keep people from getting too close as well. But nevertheless, the state-controlled media went with that story, and here came Joe Biden without any facts whatsoever stepping forward and saying, it's horrible to see what you saw, to see people treated like they did. Horses running them over. There were no pictures of anyone being run over by horses. People being strapped. They weren't strapped in the sense that he wants you to believe. He said, it's outrageous. I promise you those people will pay. And Saski even accused the agents of, quote, brutal and inappropriate behavior. Because activists and public figures were criticizing agents for simply following orders from the White House enforcing the law from the Biden administration. So they're trying to say, no, 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 not us. Those agents were rogue, using their whips on the Haitians. There was going to be a full investigation, and all those Border Patrol agents were set aside. They were not allowed to have their mounts, and they were also not going to be used, maybe office duty, if anything. Well, the investigation, according to Mayorkas, the head of Department of Homeland Security and Secretary, said that investigation will take only days, not weeks. Because, I mean, look at all the video we got, all these pictures. We got stuff right there. We're not going to need a lot of time. Well, it has taken time. That was on September 19, last year, September 19. You want to do the ciphering from then to this date of April 19, how many days that would be or months? He said it won't take but just days. That's what Mayorkas said. And then the results of the investigation are... that it didn't happen the way it was being portrayed. They were not whipping them. They were using their long reins on the horses to slap away anyone coming near, keep them. They may or may not have hit them, but if they're waving that rein at them, they're certainly making them move farther back so they wouldn't get hit, which is the intent. And they were trying to keep them from crossing in, obviously. But the results of the investigation cleared all of the agents of any criminal wrongdoing. Of any criminal wrongdoing, despite accusations from Biden and others that they were guilty of whipping and strapping the migrants, illegals. They will call them migrants. They are illegal. So the results of the investigation are in. So it's concluded, right? Oh, no, 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 not so fast. Because Saski said the process is not concluded. In other words, we didn't get the results we want, so we're going to continue investigating. She said there is a process and an investigation. I'm sure we'll have a comment on it after that. I wouldn't hold my breath for another comment from her that would do anything that indicates that the finding was wrong, that they, in fact, were guilty of strapping and attacking. Do you think? You think there'll be any change? And against that, consider this story. The Washington Post wrote, as it's described by John Nolte of Breitbart, one of the most dishonest stories you're going to hear about a woman behind a viral Libs of TikTok Twitter account, written by a far-left extremist, Taylor Lorenz. He said basically it has become a laughing stock recently. Saw her break down in melodramatic hysterics, saying that She's being bullied, has severe PTSD because people are upset with her reporting, and it hurts her. And she's just breaking down and crying. What, these these wimpy progressives cry so good on camera. And then when they turn away from you, they look at their friends and they smile and say, I got one over on them, didn't I? No, you didn't. You didn't get one over on us. They are the same crocodile tears I was discussing earlier that Saskia brought up when she was talking about the hate law in Florida is going to hurt people, kids. You want to deal with us rationally and maybe we'll find some common ground. And let us know, or we'll teach you the difference between fiction and fact. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.